Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Victoria Shade, dog trainer and author of Bonding with Your Dog, A Trainer's Secrets for Building a Better Relationship. Our phone lines are open. It's November 30th, 2012. You can call 888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Victoria a question. We're going to focus on training now. Victoria, you've been a dog trainer for over 11 years, and obviously we want to have the idea that you can train a dog at any age, and especially I think people are intimidated by the idea of bringing home shelter dogs because they think, oh, they have problems and they are not going to be trainable. So let's dispel that, and then if you could talk about what are the most key things that first you want people to know about training their dog.
Okay, in terms of shelter and rescue dogs, every dog can learn new tricks. And that's part of the bonding process that you go through with any dog. Training should be fun. It should be joyful for both of the parties. You mentioned when you're training Rosie that you believe in positive dog-friendly training, and that is what I hang my hat on. There are definitely some influential trainers that unfortunately are setting training back many, many years using the types of methods that they recommend on television, and being purposely vague here. But I think that our dogs learn best if we are gentle and joyful and we make training seem like a game. So that's the goal. And now you mentioned too some of the most important things about training. I think before we actually begin training, one of the most important things that people can do is understand canine body language. We all have a basic concept of what our dog is trying to say to us, but dogs have very specific, very nuanced language. And by understanding what they're saying, you're going to build your bond more quickly. You're going to get the results you want more quickly from training. There are a lot of misunderstandings that happen because we don't know what our dog is trying to say.
Oh, good. So, can you give us some examples, specific examples?
Of course. I'd love to. This is one of my favorite things. So we all think that a wagging tail means he's happy. How many times have you heard someone say, well, the dog was wagging his tail and then he bit me?
Mm-hmm.
But the wag is contextual. It depends on the placement on the body, the type of wag. So if I were to see a dog doing a high, tight wag, I might not approach that dog because that dog is in an aroused state. If I see a dog with a low, waggy tail, that dog is definitely more approachable. I call it the Stevie Wonder. You see motion in the back end and motion in the front end. That waggly, loose dog, that's an approachable dog. So that's a more common one. Some of the more elusive behaviors that I think we need to take note of are things like yawning. Huge. If you see your dog yawn, again, context, if it's the end of the day, he's probably tired. If you're trying to clip the leash on and you're fumbling and you're getting all up in his face and he yawns, he's trying to say to you, I'm uncomfortable. This is making me feel uncomfortable. These are called calming signals. Dogs do these to each other, and they do them to us as well, to let them know how they're feeling, to let us know how we're feeling, or how they're feeling. Excuse me. So yawning is a big one, something called lizard tongue, when the dog is flicking its tongue around its mouth. That's another way of saying I'm feeling stressed out.
Mm-hmm. We hear many stories of the people who do get nipped or bit by a dog, and the common response is, they gave me no warning. Out of the blue, all of a sudden, I got bit. Let's break that down, because that's probably not the truth.
It's not the truth, unfortunately. Sometimes, though, dogs give signals that are so subtle because they've been punished. Instead of, you know, the dog that growls and is punished for growling, that dog is giving us information when he's growling. He's saying, something's not right, I'm uncomfortable here. If we punish that behavior, pardon me, we suppress it, but we don't change the emotion behind it. So that's the dog where he's feeling uncomfortable and someone's getting too close and, oh my gosh, I'm threatened, but I can't growl because I'll get in trouble. I'm going to bite.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. So they're probably, even with those dogs, there are warnings that are happening that are just, they're not registering for us.
Right, and so I really agree with you that probably the key thing is to understand and learn how to read what our dogs are communicating, because they really do. Even the idea of the thing that we all love to do with our dogs, and especially children, they want to hug the dogs. Now, we know canines really don't love being hugged, do they?
Unfortunately, they don't. And I will tell you, a lot of dog trainers break this rule.
You know,
Our very tolerant, wonderful dogs will take a hug now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But you never want to hug a dog you don't know. You never want to kiss a dog you don't know. Although, I'm guilty of that. I've done it a few times, but I'm always watching the dogs. I'm getting lots of information from the dog before I plant that kiss.
Right.
Generally, no. Hugging, kissing, not big fans of it.
And if you look at a lot of the photographs that are out there, and I try and point this out to children, you actually can see, if you know what you're looking at, when the dog's face does not look happy, when they're making what's called like whale eyes, where, you know, you can see a lot of the whites of their eyes, and they look uncomfortable. That is some of the indication, and I think children really need to know. We don't get right in their face. You know, we don't try and kiss their nose when you don't know them, and you don't try and hug the dog that you don't know, and that dog is letting you know by their body language that they don't like it, and that's kind of a warning.
It is, and I think it's important that we model appropriate behavior for children, too. We teach them. First, we teach them and say, well, this is what Fido's trying to say to you when he does this, and you can make it really fun. And then also modeling in the way that we interact with our dog. I know a lot of people want to wrestle and roughhouse, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I don't like the hand-to-hand combat because I think it blurs the lines of acceptable play, and especially if children are involved, if they see Dad rolling on the floor with Fido, they might want to do the same thing. And, you know, the rules are different with the kids, clearly.
All righty. Well, let's move on. I know I kind of focused on the idea of what they communicate to us, but what else? What other key things about training our dogs would you like to share?
Well, you're always training. You are always training your dog, whether you have a pocket full of treats and a clicker or whether you're just sitting next to each other on the couch. Dogs are constantly watching us, observing us, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. So keeping that in mind and knowing that there's no such thing as training time and not training time will help you be more mindful in the way that you interact with your dog. So rather than accepting hugs on a Tuesday and then saying, you know, when the dog jumps up and hugs you, and then the next day saying, oh, no, I don't want to do that because I'm wearing my good clothing, that's not giving your dog a very clear picture of what acceptable behavior is. And you're not being a very good trainer in that scenario. So, you know, being mindful and acknowledging that you are always training your dog will really help smooth the path.
Being consistent. Okay, so here's a big one, Victoria, that I'm dealing with. My dog wants to jump up on people, not aggressively. She does it kind of lightly, but she wants to get close to people's faces, I think. And I've been trying to, you know, teach her that we don't do this. And I'm hearing a lot of different people say a lot of different things. Turn your back, or just have her sit, or, you know, you put your knee up, or you stomp on the leash, or
right.
I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, that's true of any training. You're going to get 10 different pieces of advice. So,
what's yours?
The number one guiding principle when you're getting all of that advice, dog friendly. So that's why stepping on paws, not a good idea. Kneeing in the chest, not a good idea. Dogs are, you know, they want that contact. So for a lot of bigger, tougher dogs, they don't care if you knee them in the chest. All they're thinking is, oh, my God, you touched me. This is awesome.
Oh, no.
Now, turning your back in theory is great because when you want to stop a behavior, you want to not acknowledge that behavior. You ignore it. But there are many dogs that are like, okay, I'll jump on your rear. This is just as good. I want contact with you.
Right.
So what I teach is a very clear nonverbal that means I need you to sit. Dogs, when they're excited, it's almost as if their ears fuse shut. So you could say, sit, 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 and it wouldn't have an impact.
Right.
But teaching a dog nonverbal, in my case, I teach a dog to respond to crossed arms. You know, like when you cross your arms when you're huffing and puffing?
Uh-huh.
Although you don't want to huff and puff, but it's a very clear nonverbal that means I want you to put your bottom on the ground. The beauty of it is you can have your guests and visitors and children do the same thing.
Okay. All right, and you know, part of my problem has been, so I've been working with Rosie, and she's pretty much, she doesn't jump up on me, but then a dog lover will come by, she'll jump up, and I'll say, oh, you know, no, you know, I'm teaching her not to, oh, no, that's okay, I like it, and they encourage it, so I'm having a big issue going back and forth with this. What do I say to these people?
That is my challenge as well, because my dogs often accompany me to work, and people will say, oh, I love it when dogs jump, and I'm trying to find the nice way to say, no, not allowed. Really, I think it's all in the phrasing. I will just say, you know, we're working on training and I've got this great trick. Can you try it?
Okay.
And if you reframe it that way.
Okay.
I've been called mean. People have said, oh, you have a mean mommy. Don't you? No.
Right.
And then the lady who comes in wearing pantyhose and she gets her pantyhose run because the dog jumps up on her. She hates me. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is key to know?
Gosh, it's such a big question.
I know.
Less is more. I think starting off with training, especially during the initial phases of your fun, happy, dog-friendly training, it's so awesome to see the changes happening in your dog that we could potentially overtrain. So I always recommend that my clients do, less is more. Several times a day, really short sessions, leave your dog wanting more. Then you're going to get the speedy responses.
Okay, what do you mean by short? What's the time of a session?
Gosh, if you're working on sit or down, you do it for 3 minutes and be done and put it away till later.
Okay.
Leash walking is the exception, though. Leash walking is a marathon behavior. You're not doing 2 minutes of leash walking. You're doing the entire time you're on that leash.
Mm-hmm. Yes, on one of the photographs, let's see, the back, the one with the training, where I'm with Rosie, picture number 15, I believe. You'll notice she's got her red collar, but she has a special harness. And I got to tell you, this was amazing for me. Of course, Rosie was pulling. I found out that, just basically, it's almost an inadvertent behavior. If you have the pressure on the back of the neck, they want to pull. And so I was told, get a harness where the ring is on the front. And Victoria, I found it was like day and night. Obviously, I'm working with Rosie on loose leash walking, but that made all the difference. She wasn't pulling anymore. What else do you recommend for people when they're trying to avoid that whole, struggle with their dog yanking them down the walk?
Well, two-pronged approach. If we're dealing with a young dog, I always say never let your dog pull. Because, as you mentioned, dogs have something called opposition reflex. When they feel something pulling back, their reflex is to pull forward. It's the same thing that happens when the doctor hits your knee and it pops right out. You can't control it.
Oh.
Same thing with dogs. That's why the Huskies are such good pulling dogs, good sled dogs. So letting the young dogs learn that the only way they move forward is if there's a slack in the leash. That's number one. Number two, for the dogs that have been doing it for a long time, you have to level set yourself that this is not a quick fix. The technique to get to where you want to go is simple. It's very straightforward. That said, it's frustrating. I will be the first to admit it can be a pain in the neck. But acknowledging that it's going to take some time and you have to be patient will help as well. And in terms of the older dog that has a confirmed pulling habit, when he pulls, stop walking. And there are a variety of ways that you can deal with this. This is my technique. So you stop walking. One of two things will happen. The dog will either continue to pull forward or attempt to pull forward, or he'll look back at you as if to say, huh, why'd we stop? If you get that attention, if you're quicker training, you click it. You say, that's what I like. You make the dog come back to your left side to get that treat, and you start forward again. If you're dealing with a dog who is a committed puller and is, eyes on the horizon, not coming back, you do something called a penalty yard, and that's where you walk backwards with your dog. It's not a yank. It's just moving backwards gently until you have that moment where the dog looks back at you and says, what are we doing? That's when you click, give the treat by your left side, and you commence. Penalty yards, they can be a little embarrassing, when you're covering that same piece of real estate on the sidewalk two or three times.
Right. But you don't get very far.
Yeah, and it is frustrating. And that's why using a no-pull harness like the one you use really helps. If you've got a committed puller and you're so frustrated and you're not making any progress, using a piece of equipment like that will help you.
Well, and you know what? I found that here I had this new dog and I just loved her, but the pulling was making me angry and I felt like I was failing and I didn't know what I was doing and the walks were not fun. And then I finally, I got the no pull harness and then I started working with her and doing everything you said. And picture number 18 here, you can see it was transformed being with her. and my whole relationship, and now walking's wonderful. Even if I don't have the harness on, sometimes just the collar, she stops. She's broken that habit of pulling, and she and I have these wonderful walks. And I really love picture 19. You just have to see that one.
It's beautiful. Love it. Contented, lucky dog.
Yes, I know. And she just has that mouth that kind of naturally goes into what we like to call a smile.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know she's not really smiling, but this one really looks like she is.
Perfection.
But so I have to tell everyone, I am a great example of someone who really, you know, went into Pet Finder, found my adopted dog, and I've had just the greatest experience. She's sweet. She's calm. And this is a dog who knows what her past was. So with everything that you've told us, Victoria, and more that we can learn about, you know, adopting our dogs, let's hope that someday we get to the point where we really don't have any homeless dogs.
I agree. It's such a lofty goal, but I think it's an attainable goal.
Yes. Well, my guest today has been Victoria Shade, dog trainer and author of Bonding with Your Dog, A Trainer's Secret for Building a Better Relationship. You will find the links to Victoria's website, Life on the Leash, how to order her book and DVD, all the information from PetNet 2012 online adoption event at PetSide.com, and the other resources mentioned in today's show on my website, WildAboutPets.net. Victoria, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure. I had a great time, and Rosie is a gem. She's a lucky dog.
Well, thank you so much. As always, I love hearing your comments and questions. Write me on my Facebook page or at WildAboutPets.net. Thank you for listening.